When that time comes, you have to be able to stick it out. You have to be able to encourage yourself without expecting encouragement from anywhere else. Amen. You need to learn how to get up and go when you don't feel like going anymore. Hallelujah. You need to learn how to get up and try again when you don't feel like trying again. And when there is nobody to tell you to try again. Are you getting what I'm saying? When everything around you is pointing south and you want to head north, you need to learn the art of turning your whole system to face and move in the direction that you desire to see yourself headed. Hallelujah. And God from heaven will be your helper. Can I have an amen? God will be your helper as you put yourself together and seek to rise above the different circumstances that present in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, tonight, I want to continue sharing with you just along that path. But, you know, I had a quiet time a couple of days ago and you know, just so blessed me just along those lines. And I wanted to just read it and share it with you. Amen. Amen. So you will turn your Bibles, in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And in Judges chapter 6, we read a very interesting story. From verse 1, it says, "Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, we are grateful to you once again for tonight, and we thank you for the teaching of your word. We pray for the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Teach us tonight things we have not known before. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So back to verse 1. It says, "The people of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years." Hallelujah. Amen. The people of God did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into captivity for 7 years. Hallelujah. Now, you know, it is common that you would read in the Bible that the people of God did evil in his sight, and then God would send them into captivity, you know. And it's a cycle that just continues and just continues. It looked like, you know, God seemed to be able to get their attention by sending them into captivity. Because they would go into captivity, then they would be crying. Then when they cry, the Lord will come and deliver them. When they come back from the deliverance, they forget. Then they'll start misbehaving again, and the Lord will send them into captivity. You know, so this is what happened in this place. And God gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. You know, this scripture reminds me of something where, you know, Jesus was being asked a question by Pontius Pilate, and he was not answering the question. And Pontius Pilate wanted to flex his muscles a little bit. And he told him that, you know, I have the power to kill you. You know that. You are joking with a very important person. Do you understand? And then Jesus told him that you have no power over me except that it's been given to you. Are you getting it? The truth about the child of God is that nothing has power over you except what has been allowed to have power over you. And even then, it's for a season. Can I have an amen? It's for the season. The things that plague you and plague your life, the things that harass us, the things that attack us, many of those things are things that have been given a power over you for a season, especially the ones that you can't pray off. Do you understand? Anything that has not been given power over you, your prayers ought to be able to solve it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, when you pray and pray and pray, you know, Paul's standard was three times. He prayed one, then he prayed again, then he prayed again. Then after the third one, he said, now I will rejoice in my infirmities. I'm going to try to be happy with things as they are. Are you getting it? Because when something has been given power over you, you cannot just pray it off. Do you understand? You will just have to accept that this is also what the mighty hand of God has brought me. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is what the mighty hand of God has permitted. But note that it's for a season. Hallelujah. There is nothing negative that will have power over you forever. But God will bring it to an end. Can I have an amen? Amen. So he said that they were afflicted for 7 years. Then the power, verse 2, of Midian prevailed against Israel. You know, verse 2, the power of Midian prevailed against Israel because of Midian. The sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. Hallelujah. Yeah, they were very afraid of these guys. So they started to create for themselves dens and caves and so on in the mountains. Right. Now, verse 3 says, for it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites will come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. Do you see? So, can you imagine this picture here you have in the background? Imagine this is like some wheat or something like that. This would be the work of the people of Israel. And just when the thing is ready for harvesting, then their enemies would show up and come and take charge over this thing. Do you understand? So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. Do you get it? And the Bible said all of this was from God. Do you understand? It's amazing the things that can be from God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, if your theology is not correct, you tend to think that only good things come from God. That is true in the sense that the Bible says that with God, all things work together for good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So even good can come from what is evil, but or what tastes or feels sour to experience. Are you getting the picture? But God was with them still, as you will see. So these people were oppressing them because they had been given power over them. It says they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come in like locusts for number. Both they and their camels were innumerable. And they came into the land to devastate it totally, because the people of Israel had done evil against God, and God had given them over to the Midianites and allowed this to happen for a season. Hallelujah. The next verse, verse 6. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried unto the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the point where the Lord wanted to get them to come to. God wanted them to turn their hearts back towards Him. God wanted them to start looking up to Him again. God wanted them. Does this work over here? Okay. God wanted them to turn away from their sins and come back to Him. And so the Bible says the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. And then what happened? Look at the next verse. Now it came about, when the sons of Israel cried unto the Lord on account of Midian, verse 8, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, right there also is another important thing to note, that God's answers to prayers often take the form of Him sending a man of God into your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. That God's answers to prayers often... See, the people, do you realize you read verse 7? Verse 7, They cried unto the Lord on account of Midian. Look at it. They cried unto the Lord. That's prayer, isn't it? They cried unto the Lord. That's intense prayer. Do you see? An intense prayer. They didn't just pray, but they were crying unto the Lord. Do you understand? You feel the agony in the cry. Is it not the case? Like when, Michael, when your daughter is crying, do you not feel a certain agony? And do you not feel a certain beckoning and beseeching and a certain urgency? You know, I need attention, whatever it is she's crying for, and I need it now. Do you get it? So it was the sort of thing that went on. And God's answer to such intense prayer, the Bible says in the next verse, that the Lord God sent a prophet unto the sons of Israel. Hallelujah. So can you imagine? A rejection of the prophet or the man of God is actually a rejection of God's response to your prayers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. That God will send the pastor your way with a message. That message is supposed to be an answer to your prayer. Hallelujah. Recently, I preached in a certain place, and someone told me that the Lord sent you to come and save me. Wow. You know? Yeah, she said, the Lord sent you to come and save me. The message you came to preach has saved me. It saved me from I don't know, she said she was going downhill in some particular area, and she said that the Lord has sent you to save me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So in every time you have an encounter with a preacher, an encounter with a man of God, you should expect or imagine that the Lord may have sent him to save you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That through the message he's come to preach, yes, he's a prophet. You know, and God, I don't know why God himself didn't go and visit these people, but he just sent a prophet to them. Do you understand? And when the prophet came, he said unto them, thus saith the Lord. That's the word of God, isn't it? That this is the word of God, the God of Israel. It says, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. This is the Lord telling them. Do you get it? And then, I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. You see, God is telling them all the things he has done for them. And then he says, and I said to you that I am the Lord your God, and you shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. Hallelujah. Yeah, I came to you, I took you out of your predicament, I delivered you, and introduced myself to you, and I said to you that I am the Lord your God, and I am the one who has delivered you. And I said to you, do not worship the gods of the Amorites, even though you live with them. Hallelujah. So even though we live among, may live among people, God does not want you to be affected. He does not want your lives to be affected by the environment in which you live. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, we may be surrounded by unbelievers who make gods and idols out of so many things, out of sports, out of cars, out of houses, out of people, out of jobs, whatever. But the Lord has a different standard for his people, and he expects his people to keep that standard in spite of where they live and in spite of who they are surrounded by. So God introduced himself. He said, I said to you, I am the Lord your God, and you shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. That's the reason for all this trouble. Hallelujah. And then verse 11, he says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizrite. Okay? As his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. Hallelujah. Okay. It says the angel of the Lord just came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, you know, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press. You know, when I read this, I just said, oh, may the angel of the Lord come and sit under my tree one of these days. Hallelujah. Yeah, may the angel of God draw near your dwelling, because he brings with him grace and deliverance and blessing. Hallelujah. So anyway, he came there, and then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant man. Now, this is very, very interesting. You would even like to say that the Lord is laughing at you. Because what Gideon was doing is not what valiant people do. Do you get it? Gideon had gone to hide somewhere in a corner, trying to beat some small wheat. Do you get it? And trying to hide it from the Midianites. Remember how we read that every time they made their food, the Midianites would come and carry it away. They would work, do all the hard work, and when the food is ready to be eaten, the Midianites will show up and devastate the whole situation. You know, so the guy was hiding. Then as he was hiding, the angel of the Lord came and announced loudly, oh, valiant man. Do you understand? Can you imagine when you're doing something that is obviously cowardly, and then someone sees you and says, hey, thou brave man. You get it? You just wonder, what is he trying to tell you? He's obviously mocking you. But the truth is that God can see beyond what we can see. Hallelujah. God sees who you really are. And he's able to see through what your circumstances have turned you into. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And maintain his opinion about who you really are, in spite of the circumstance you are in. Can I have an amen? So we should not allow our circumstances to define us. We should keep and to hold the testimony of God about us. Because the Bible says the testimony of God is sure. Whatever God thinks about you is what you really are. Are you getting the picture? So he said that, look, the angel came to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant man. But at this point, you know, Gideon cannot believe any such thing anymore. 7 years of oppression. You get it? 7 years of struggle. 7 years of working so hard and losing it all to the Midianites. Do you understand? So he said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Yeah, what are you talking about? Where is God? If God was in my life, why would all this happen to us? And this is a very common question among the people of God. It's probably the commonest question that people ask. That if God was with me, do you understand? Then why? How do you explain all these circumstances? Do you understand? And what may make it even some way is when the angel shows up and he starts calling you, you are a valiant man. You are a victorious man. You are a victorious daughter. Victory is yours. And is announcing such things. You know, and you just wonder, the two don't add up. What God seems to be saying about you and what you are experiencing don't seem to add up. Hallelujah. But whose report will you believe? You should believe the report of the Lord. Can I have an amen? Whose testimony will you believe? You should believe the testimony of the Lord. Whose experience will you believe? You should believe what the word of God is saying about you and not what your personal experience is. Can I have an amen? So if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And then he says, and where are all his miracles? Where are the miracles? They said the Lord will heal. Where is my healing? They said the Lord will deliver. Where is my deliverance? They said the Lord will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. I haven't even seen him tilt a window of heaven, let alone even open it over my life. Where is the blessing? Where are the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Hallelujah. It's very interesting what perspective people have on what is going on. When we began to read this thing, the Bible explained clearly to us why the Lord had put them in that situation. Do you understand? That they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And as they did evil in the sight of the Lord's response was to turn them over to the people of Midian. But now this man is talking, and his mind is not on the evil at all. Are you getting it? He just does not understand why things are that way, and rather is turning around to blame God. You know, look, you know these miracles that our fathers have been talking about, miracles and so on. Look at us. We're not experiencing any miracles. We're not experiencing anything that points to the fact that God is good or anything. It's just been Midianites and Midianites suffering under the hands of the Midianites. And you show up and you tell me, number one, your first mistake is to call me a valiant man, you see, which I don't appreciate. Then that number two is that now you are talking about miracles and telling me the Lord is with me. I don't feel it. It doesn't feel like the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. Amen. So what happens next? Verse 14. He says, then the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Hallelujah. Amen. Then verse 15, he said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? What are you talking about? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest of my father's house. Do you see? So my family is the smallest one of the smallest tribe. Do you see? Small family in a small tribe, and in the small family, I'm the last born. Do you get it? So why are you even interested in me? Why do you want to choose me for such a project? Do you see? Then verse 16, but the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Hallelujah. Yes. I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. And so what happened next? It says, so Gideon said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. I need to be sure, Lord, because I have suffered. You get it? And I am not going to take any chances without being very sure that this is you. So then we go from there. And he says, please do not depart from here until I come back to you. Wait right here. I'm coming. And I want to bring out my offering and lay it before you. Do you understand? See, there's good times to give an offering. Do you get it? The guy saw that, look, if I'm having an angelic moment, if this is a spiritual moment, if God has come here, then this is a time to give my offering. Can you see that? So he begged the angel. So obviously he didn't even have the offering there. Do you get it? But he was in a mix of he wasn't exactly sure what to make of the experience. He definitely knew that something supernatural was happening. But then when he thought about the way the circumstances have been lately, he was just not so sure what to believe. But in any case, he said, let me not lose my chances. Do you get it? So he told the angel, listen, if you are God, and if there's anything divine or spiritual about what's going on here, I think you should just wait for me right here. Let me go and give my offering. Just wait. I want to bring an offering to you anyhow. And he went, and then he brought his offering. So he said, I will remain until you return. The angel said, I will remain until you return. Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in the basket and the broth in the pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. He didn't lose his chance, isn't it? I tell you, there are moments, especially when the anointing and the presence of God is in a place, is a good time to give an offering. Hallelujah. Amen. So Gideon went in and did all that, and then he brought it and presented them. Verse 20, the angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth And he did so. And then verse 21, the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, and then touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Wow. A very powerful experience, isn't it? And so verse 22, when Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord. Do you realize that? So up to this point, he's still not sure. You get it? But after this experience, he is sure that he has seen an angel. Then he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Hallelujah. Then verse 23 says, the Lord said to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." You get it? Because he was scared that, hey, you see an angel of the Lord, the next thing is that you're going to die. Because you have seen God, as it were. But the angel said, the Lord said to him, "Do not fear, you shall not die." And then the next verse, then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Okay? Then, now on the same night, the Lord said to him, "Take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it." And verse 26, "And build an altar unto the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down." You know? And then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. Now, this is exactly what was said, you know, in the earlier part of the chapter. It says, and they did not do what the Lord told them. Do you understand? And that had brought them so many problems. But this time, Gideon is doing as the Lord has spoken to him. Do you understand? And he says, and because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. Hallelujah. Be afraid, but do it anyway. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are many things that you try to do, but they look scary to do. But you know you have to do them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes to give your life to the Lord, to serving the Lord, and to serving Him a certain way. Sometimes to give maybe a certain offering, or sometimes to do a certain sacrifice, a certain something that you know that the Lord is requiring that of you, but the courage to do it. And when that happens, sometimes you need to just use wisdom to do it anyway. So this guy was afraid to do it by day, because the thing he was going to destroy was the God his father was worshipping. Do you get it? And the angel of the Lord said, "Destroy this God called Baal that your father has gone to bring to defile the whole land." And he said, "I'm going to do it." But he was afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day. So he did it by night. They woke up one morning and the whole God had run away. Okay, so verse 28. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah which was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. Verse 29. Then they said to one another, "Who did this thing?" And when they searched about and inquired, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing." And then verse 30. Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it." You know? And then verse 31, but Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself." because someone has torn down his altar. Hallelujah. Isn't that too powerful? Yeah, this is the Joash who himself was worshiping this God. You get it? The thing was owned by him. And when the people came to say that, look, they've destroyed our God and our place of worship and so on, bring your son and let's kill him for that reason. Then he said to them, my friends, if the guy is a God, let him defend himself. Let him, if someone has spoiled his altar, he should at least rise up and speak for himself. Hallelujah. And so the next verse says, therefore, on that day, he named him Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend against him because he had torn down his altar. So that became Gideon's name, Jerubbaal. Then he says, therefore, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet and the Abizrites were called together to follow him. Can I have an amen? He sent messengers throughout Manasseh and they were all called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, to Zebulun, to Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, if you will deliver Israel to me, through me, as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken. Hallelujah. And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl of water. Do you understand? Sometimes, when I read this particular thing, I just began to love the Lord for his patience. Do you understand? Because you can see that even when the guy saw that it was an angel, he said, if you're really an angel from heaven, wait for me here. I want to bring my offering. And the guy, the angel waits as the guy goes to prepare a bull. That's not like 3 minutes. Do you understand? But he goes to find his bull. He kills the animal, cooks it, makes the soup and everything. And he comes and the angel is just patiently waiting for him. Because what God has purposed to do, he will do. And nothing can stop it. Can I have an amen? Says, so it was so when he rose up early in the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, please don't be angry with me. Do not let your anger burn against me, so that I can speak once more. One last thing, Lord, please. Let me make a test once more with the fleece. This time, let it be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground. Hallelujah. Amen. Then what happened? God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and the dew was on all the ground. So what did Gideon do the next chapter? Well, so his name is Jerubbaal now, isn't it? So he and all the people who were with him did what? They rose early and encamped. Right. So you can understand by this time, confidence has come. Are you hearing me? Confidence has come to do his will. Now, one of the things I was sharing with you the last time when I was talking about self-encouragement is the fact that you need to draw on your experiences with the Lord, on things that the Lord has done for you previously, in places and ways in which God has shown his hand. Do you understand? And all of us have them. All of us can look in our lives and find experiences and find encounters with the Lord and find things that have pointed to the fact that, you know, this actually must be the doing of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we need to draw on those things, because from this point on, when you go home, you can read the story. You begin to see that we are talking now about a totally different person. Do you understand? That when the angel of the Lord came and said, "You are a valiant man," he was actually speaking prophetically. Because indeed he was talking to a valiant person. He was the, and what was missing, because between that person and this person is the encounter that the person had had with God. Do you understand? The experiences he had had with the angel. And the assurance that had come into his heart from drawing on what he had seen God do. From drawing on what he had heard God say. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we read the Bible, when we listen to the messages, as we hear God speak to us, we are supposed to draw energy and strength from it. Hallelujah. For the battle ahead. You get it? You will see how this man goes to put together an army of 32,000 people. And he's going to beat the Midianites with 32,000 people. Which is actually against the number of Midianites that there were. 32,000 was actually small. You get it? But he still had faith. He still believed it. That look, from what I've heard, I believe that with my 32,000 people, we can beat these guys. Then suddenly the Lord told him that, you know, your people are too many. The 32,000 is too many. He said, yeah, you can't be serious. Already we are outnumbered like 1 to 10 or something like that. And you come in, you're telling me 22,000. The Lord said to him, tell everyone who is afraid to go home. And then when he announced that everyone who is afraid should go home, to his surprise, 22,000 people went home. He couldn't believe it. Do you understand? You see, it says, so 22,000 people returned. Can you imagine that? Now, therefore, come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. They said, so 22,000 people. They said, you know something, we're out of here. What I learned from this is that, you know, sometimes the things you think you have with you, they are just weak things, really, against the battle that you're about to fight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are certain things when you lose them, you should not worry. Because they were not going to play a role in your victory anyway. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are certain people, when they walk out of your life, you must not be sad. Because they were not a part of your story anyway. They were not a part of your testimony. They were just afraid and trembling people, just cluttering the area. But in real fact, they were not with you. You see, so now the guy has 10,000 people, and I'm sure at this point he's beginning to wonder what's going to go on. Then the Lord comes up again and he says, you know, even the 10,000, I think they are too many. He says, the people are still too many. The people are still too many. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it not amazing? Because the most common complaint of man is, I don't have enough. You get it? I don't have enough. But here is somebody who has even what is not enough, and God says, it's too much. Do you get it? For what I want to do, you don't really need that much. So he said, bring the people down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Therefore it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But everyone of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. Okay, so next verse, they went to the water, and he brought the people down. And the Lord said, Gideon, you shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink. Separate the lappers from those who kneel to drink. And then, now the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people kneeled to drink. Okay. So what happened? The Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped, and will give the Midianites into your hands. So let all the other people go. each man to his home. So they started from 32,000. Do you get it? Not knowing that Gideon had 31,700 people more than he really needed. Is it not amazing? He had much more than he really needed. Hallelujah. He had too many people. I tell you that you should never look down on yourself. Never look down on the resources you have. Never underestimate who the Lord has given you. Amen. We are a church, a young church that is building and developing. We must never look down on the people that God has given us. We must never underestimate even the power of our services. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We must never underestimate His presence with us, because He makes a big difference. Hallelujah. If God is with you, you do not need 32,000 people to win the battle that is in front of you. You just need the people that God has chosen for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you see, all the other people, they even brought themselves, but the Lord had not chosen them. You get it? And God said, don't worry. If you had a church of 32,000 people and woke up one day and 31,700 of them are gone, you will seriously doubt your calling. Is it not the case? Yes, you will seriously doubt your calling. You are going to wonder, wow, is this of the Lord? You will say to yourself, what a shock indeed. What a shock. You get it? And you will say to yourself, I finally have proof that I'm not called to do any of this. But that was not true at all. His work was beginning. Do you understand? And at this point, it became even more critical to follow God and to obey Him, to hear Him and to know what He wanted to do. Because at this point, you will see that Gideon has lost all faith in himself. Do you understand? Now that the thing is down to 300 men, you better listen to God. Do you understand? And find Him. Hallelujah. So you read on, the Lord said that they should take trumpets. You see, so 300 men took the people's provisions and their trumpets into their hands. And then Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each one to his tent. But he retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. You know, the people who had been oppressing them, he was going to defeat them. And he has sent all the army home, except for 300 people. You know, now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. Hallelujah. When God has given something to you, you don't need a whole lot to fight for it. Hallelujah. I believe God has given us this city. I believe God has given us people in this city. God has given us a church in this city. And it doesn't matter who comes to church. Doesn't matter who doesn't come to church. Doesn't matter who comes regularly and who doesn't come regularly. Doesn't matter who used to come and does not come anymore. All that matters is the fact that we are still here and we are still doing what the Lord has sent us here to do. And it's only a matter of time before we see the victory that the Lord brought us here to experience. Can I have an amen? He said, if you are afraid to go down, go with your servant. And this is when the Lord told him, go down to the place. And I want you to hear something so you can be encouraged. And then he told him, if you are afraid to go down, go with your servant. You will hear what they say. And afterwards, your hand will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Pura, his servant, down to the outpost of the army that was in the camp. And when they went there, the Midianites and Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. Can you imagine? His number they could count. They said 32,000. You get it? And 22,000 and 10,000 and 300. But here they said that like locusts. You get it? And their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. But God is the one behind this. And that's where the difference is. Hallelujah. So when Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend. And he said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian. And it came to the tent, and it struck it so that it fell and turned upside down, so that the tent lay flat. His friend replied, "This is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all his camp into his hand." This is just, God said, "I want you to go to the camp of the Midianites tonight. They will be chatting. Just hear something so you'll be encouraged." When he went there, he heard two people chatting. And this was the thing they were talking about. You know. So what is the next one? When Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship. And then he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands." Hallelujah. It's an amazing story that I believe, you know, we can learn from and draw a lot of inspiration from. Hallelujah. To know that God is with us in what we are doing. And because God is with us, victory is guaranteed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you should not look at small numbers. You should not look at small attendance. You should not look at who came, who didn't come, and such things. But just stay on and be steady. Do you understand? Just be steady. Because if the Lord was to open your eyes, like he opened this guy's ears and gave him an opportunity to hear some of the realities on the ground. Because if he was standing where he was observing the numerous camels and the numerous people in the camp, even fear would come into his heart and he would want to give up. Do you understand? But when he heard the thing, he didn't know that even his enemies were afraid of his 300 people. Do you get it? That is why the Lord told him that your people are too many. That's too many. You don't need all this to be able to break through. Hallelujah. So I don't know what you are trying to do. And I don't know what or how little or ill-prepared you think you are for what you're trying to do. I just know that if God is the one who has opened the door for you to do it, he is with you. Amen. And with God, there is no restraint on the Lord to save by many. According to the Bible, it says God saves even by few. Hallelujah. So his blessing is on us. And we'll continue to walk in his grace. We'll continue to build for him. And we'll continue to serve him with all our might and with all our hearts. Amen. Stand to your feet tonight and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Let's pray and just thank God. It says, when Gideon heard what was being said in the camp, he bowed and worshipped. He said, "Oh Lord, what a mighty God we serve." He said, "What an amazing God." He said, "Who is like unto thee, O God?" He said, "This is too much for me, Lord. This is way above my head. This is too much for me." So I want you to pray and just worship like Gideon worshipped and say, "Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the victory. I thank you for the establishment. I thank you, Lord, for the lives that you are touching through the work in this city. I thank you for the people you are bringing together in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the souls. I thank you, O God, for the net that has been cast over the city. And I thank you, Lord, for the harvest that is coming in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, we bless your name, Lord. We give you glory. Just worship him, everybody, and say, "Lord, let your will be done. Let your purpose go forth. Let your hand be strong, Lord. Let your purpose be established in the name of Jesus." Makaboro Moshandaria Rababara Babara Babara Moshandaria Rababaya Moseke Fara Manama Moshandaria Rababaya Manababaya Meka Manama Shanabaraba Moshandaria Moseke Teria Rababa Likabara Babaya Mikoro Seteria Rababoro Shandaria Rababaya. We bless your name, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord. May your name be praised. May your kingdom be established, oh God. We pray that in our midst, people will recognize the hand of God upon us. People will experience the hand of God in their private lives. Even where we are not, your hand will be there to speak and to testify on our behalf in the name of Jesus. People will have experiences, individual encounters with the Holy Spirit and with you, and encounters that we cannot explain, encounters that we don't even know about, in the name of Jesus. All I ask, Lord, is that you will move on behalf of your people. All I ask, oh God, is that you will move in the lives of your people, in the name of Jesus, and cause people to experience you in special ways that convince them that it is you who has called them and drawn them unto yourself. In the name of Jesus, we bless your name, Lord, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.